So glad to have you guys here to celebrate this Memorial Weekend and spend time together as a family. So if you could, if you have a copy of God's Word, if not, just follow along with me if you could. I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 24 this morning. Joshua chapter 24. We call it the Day to Remember, or a Memorial Day, if you will. The English call it a Remembrance Day. A day that we take time to pause, to remember, to reflect the sacrifices that have been made, those who have paid the greatest sacrifice for securing our freedom. Ironic word of the very word freedom is not free at all. It comes at a great price and a cost that many times we take for granted or we forget. And so many times people celebrate this weekend in different ways. One thing I do not encourage you to do is to wish anybody a happy Memorial Weekend, because there's no such thing as a happy one. That, I'll be honest with you, for some of us, this weekend is difficult. It's a struggle and conflict of emotions that we don't quite know how to process. As a young man, I didn't really understand this very much, watching my father struggle greatly on Memorial Weekend. Thankful for his service, yet feeling guilty that he made it home when so many of his friends did not. I didn't understand the concept of why a soldier would feel guilty coming home. I understood gratitude and thankfulness, but I didn't understand the concept of survivor's guilt. And I didn't really understand that until I came to the place and I served. And now I'm home, and many of my friends are not. Some of them are remembered by celebrations on walls and in small towns which they come from. And yet there's many other of my friends that go unnamed, unnoticed, and simply are reflected by a star on a wall, where their deeds and their heroism and their sacrifice remain classified and unknown to the public in general. So how do we go about this weekend? Do we act like it never existed, or most of the time we go about celebrating in different ways? Sometimes many people will go to a cemetery and place flags on the tombstones of soldiers that have paid that price. Such a tombstone, a marker lies for a young man named Lance Corporal Thibodeau, who came from a small town, left his small town, his working as a barber in 1917, to go to France and the famous Rainbow Division. And Private Thibodeau had it, Lance Corporal Thibodeau had it in his diary that was found in him when he was killed in action while delivering a message to headquarters, with this inscription in it, as far as his personal plea and his commitment that he recited each day. He stated this: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will serve, I will sacrifice, and I will endure. I will fight cheerfully to my uttermost, as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. So we think and we reflect on great contributions and sacrifice like Lance Corporal Thibodeau made and so many others have made to secure our freedom that we enjoy today. And I don't think it's ever our intentions to forget. And unless you're like a young person, like, how many times, parents, have you heard this one? Did you do such and such? Oh, I forgot, right? I think sometimes our children intentionally forget things. But as adults, we don't intentionally forget to remember the sacrifices that have been made. But somehow we do, don't we? And our lives get so busy in the hectic pace of life. We're so busy trying to keep up that very seldom do we take time to pause, reflect, and remember what's been done. And the reality is that's very detrimental. It's detrimental to our culture, our society, our country, but it's also detrimental to us as Christians. And what you find in Joshua chapter 24 is Joshua begins to call the people of Israel to a time of remembrance. And in verse 14, he says this: Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And it says, evil, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he makes this famous statement. Many times you may have this verse even in your house. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and preserved us in all the way we're in and kept us all the way which we passed. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God, he's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that which he has done you good. And they said this, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And then Joshua said unto the people, now put away, said he, the strange God which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. And the children of Israel said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. That which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for I have heard all the words which the Lord has spoken unto us. And this shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And the result of the commitment, the call of commitment that Joshua gave to the children of Israel that day, it says this in verse 31, that all the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. They hadn't forgotten what they were made. So on this Remembrance Day, I think I can see about four different things from this text that we would do well also to remember. And I think this is what Joshua was calling the children of Israel to remember that day. Because if we don't remember, the chances are when we forget, the consequences of forgetting are drastic. Matter of fact, we see the consequences in Judges chapter 2. Let me read that real quick. Judges chapter 2 and verse 11, 10, 11, it says this. And there are also a generation that gathered who knew not the Lord, nor the mighty works which the Lord God hath done to Israel. They forgotten. They did not know what God had done in the past. And it says, so they forsook the Lord and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So remembering is a powerful thing. So what do we need to remember? The first aspect of what Joshua calls the children of Israel, remember, in verses 14 through 18, he calls them to remember their past decisions. Remember their past decisions. You've made a commitment to God, but understand something. That commitment needs to be reminded and it needs to be remembered every single day of your life. It was said that Cortez, when coming to a new land to conquer a new land, he burnt the ships to give his soldiers proper resolve to know that there is no way we're going back. We have to win. And what I see a lot of times when Christians struggle in life is they make decisions that are morally flexible, that are transferable, and not really transferable, they literally are written in pencil, that they can be erased at any moment. And what Joshua is calling the children of Israel, like, hey, make sure this choice that you're making is clear and you understand the commitments, because choices have consequences. You can't go back on this. He even gives a great judgment of the consequence. If you go back on this, the Lord will turn and do you hurt after that which he has done you good. What is he saying here, friends? Understand something, this concept of Christian living. There's no such thing as you can't play games with God. Young people, I wish you would hear this and understand something, that to whom much is given, much is required. It's a wonderful thing to be brought up into church like Mosaic. It's a wonderful thing to have parents who love and serve Jesus. But understand something, that commitment as a young person, you're held, you've been given so much and you'll be accountable for that. What are you doing with it? You know, It's frustrating to see people who struggle, and when you start looking at their commitment paradigm, their decision paradigm, that they have forgotten what it means when they've said, I'll follow Jesus. What does it mean when you ask Christ to be your Savior? It means also that you've asked him to be your Lord. You've literally said, Jesus, come to my heart, forgive me of my sin. And by doing so, you're allowing Jesus into your life. And guess what? He doesn't like to co-rule with you. He's certainly not your servant. He's going to sit at the throne of your life, and he's going to tell you what to do. Are you okay with that? You have to relinquish being the CEO of your life. Remember the choices that you've made. So oftentimes we forget. Moses had a choice that he made. He says he chose it. Moses, we see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. He said, Moses chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people than rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so many times our commitments, our decisions are, we cast aside or we try to nullify their implications upon our life because we'd rather be comfortable than being committed. One of the things that I'm reminded by at this time, when we think about the sacrifices that so many have made for us, if the soldiers that sacrificed everything for the freedom which you enjoy today had the kind of commitment to their decisions as you do to yours, where would our country be today? They say, well, James, that's not fair. I submit to you that what you fight for here is a far greater implications than a country. It has all the echoes of eternity. And the stake of our children and our communities' lives are at stake for all eternity. You notice not only do you remember, he challenged them to remember their decisions there. He said, make it personal. He said, this as me, if in my house, we will serve the Lord. I like this about Joshua as a leader. Joshua was a real man. He didn't say, honey, is it okay if we serve the Lord? Would you mind if I take charge for a little bit and be responsible for our family? He said, as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't take a vote on it. Kids, is it okay if we go to church today? Do you mind if we do things that are spiritual? See, for Joshua, it was settled. We will serve the Lord. There were no highway options for the family of Joshua. And so many times we allow our lack of commitment of our children or our family around us to degrade our own decisions and to compromise our own values. Not only was the decision, the choices that they were made affected the whole community of Israel, but it came down to his own family. He made those things personal. There also be the things in your life and your family that are non-negotiable, friends. That are non-negotiable. And sadly, many times, what is negotiable are the things that never should be put on the table to be negotiated about. Now, if you look in verses 19 through 28, you see he calls them to remember their past devotions. He calls them to remember that it is God that empowered them through difficult times. It was God that led them through the Egypt that brought them into this land. It was God that worked in their life. It's God that worked those miracles in their life. It's God that gave them the country in the first place. It's easy to trust God when everything's going bad, isn't it? Isn't that the first thing we turn to when everything goes wrong and we're helpless and hopeless and we're in these impossible situations and we say, God, help me. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But what we fail to realize is that one of the most dangerous tools of the devil is to allow prosperity to rule and reign in our life. He's just as much in the temptation of those times as he is in the hardships of others. Don't you find yourself when everything's going good and there's no issues in your life that you have a tendency to forget God? Yeah? About three of us. The rest of y'all are lying. Let's be honest. Depending on the Lord and walking with the Lord in prosperity is sometimes more difficult than it is in poverty. In poverty, we're acutely aware of our problems, and in prosperity, somehow we think we got it all figured out. Everything's going great. We fail to realize is that the noose is just tightening down upon our lives. It's only a matter of time. He's telling them to remember the devotion that you had to the Lord. Not just the decision that you made mentally, but with your heart that you were given over to the things of God. And that he took priority in your life. You see this, that the principle of being remembering our devotion to the Lord is critical for us standing and weathering the storms of life. Daniel 8, chapter 1, verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled by the meat that fell from the king's table. He made some decisions. He was committed in his heart to follow those decisions, even when they weren't comfortable for him. We have this concept in our culture today that life is meant to be comfortable. And God never promised the Christian life to be comfortable. God never promised to make the Christian life convenient for you. I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you that. And maybe if you turn on the TV, you may hear a preacher proclaim that to you this Sunday. But the reality is God's word, that's never given to us. He did promise to give you a comforter, not to make you comfortable. He is the comforter. Are you devoted? Ask yourself this to measure your own devotion. If God never blessed you the rest of the days of your life, would you still serve him? Let's be honest. God does bless us richly, doesn't he? Aren't you thankful for what God does in your life? Aren't you thankful that he blesses you? And he doesn't even bless your obedience. What just boggles my mind is that God blesses me not because I've done something right, but even when I've done something wrong, he blesses me just because he can. I'm just blown away by that. Why would you do that, God? Isn't that humbling when you've done something really stupid and then God blesses you despite it? It floors me. God does bless us. But oftentimes we can get caught up in serving the blessing rather than the blesser. We live this Christian life to get the product of our children and our family rather than the producer of that product, which is him. Remember, this is not just about a core set of values or beliefs or behavior modification, that our hearts are to be sold out to him. This is seen and made very relevant when you talk to soldiers, warriors that have given everything in this country. Now, I'm about as patriotic as they get. I will bleed to keep the stripes on the flag red. If you don't like that, well, whatever. You know, I fight for you to have the freedom of stupidity, not believe that. But ultimately, when you talk to guys, when things get really bad, they don't fight for conceptual concepts of the Constitution. They don't fight for something called the U.S. of A. What they end up fighting for and what they end up giving their lives for is the brother next to them. It's the very person next to them. See, the reality is devotion is very personal. So if God never blessed you the rest of the day of your lives, would you still serve him? Is that how devoted you are to him? Realize this, that's how devoted he is to you. Thirdly, if you're going to walk in victory like the children of Israel did, you're going to need to remember current disciplines, verses 25 through 28. At this call of remembrance, to remembering decisions and remembering their past devotions had a very present reality in their life. It was a daily thing, the daily disciplines of life. See, the reality is that if you don't have things in your life that you're doing on a daily basis to anchor your soul to the truths of Scripture and to the truths of God, you will slip. You will drift away. That old hymn said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Don't you sense that? I mean, we if you do nothing, you will drift. You have to deliberately and intentionally focus on bowing a knee before the risen Savior each and every day. See, the reality is our daily disciplines of how we live our life matter than just simply making a decision to follow Christ and having moments of devotion on Sunday morning. We talk a lot about Mosaic and this idea of that Christianity is Monday through Saturday, not just what's on Sunday. Is what you believe and what you celebrate on Sunday consistent with your Monday through Saturday behaviors? They ought to be. And when they're not, friends, the consequences are devastating because people around us that work with us, that live with us, that are in and around our lives, when they see that hypocrisy of a lack of consistency in our lives, they say, your God's not real. That's just religion. But God calls us to a vital relationship each and every day. which is powerful, that we receive our identity from Christ. That he's the one that says who I am. I don't have to work for my own identity. I don't have to serve to have my own integrity. I simply receive it from him. That's the good news of the gospel. So if you're going to walk in victory, if you're going to let freedom rule and reign in your life, clearly you're going to need to remember some decisions that you've made. Some of you need to burn some bridges today. Young people, some of you need to make some commitments to burn bridges that you're not going to go back and live the way you wanted to live. And how we do that, one of the most effective ways to do that is by transparency and accountability to others. It's easy to make a decision if no one knows about it. It's a lot harder to go back on it when you say, brother, keep me accountable for this decision. Help me with this. Any decision worth having is going to be difficult, and you're probably going to fail at it if you don't do it with someone else with you, by your side. Who's with you? Who's helping you carry that decision of commitment that you've made? You need to be devoted. Your heart needs to long for him. And the reality is, it's okay if your heart doesn't long for him. Be honest with God and just simply say that. Lord, I long to long for you, but I don't long for you now. Convict me, draw me to yourself by your love. I want to be devoted to you, but I'm not. I'm just going through the motions right now. And I just confess that before you. You're not going to fool him. He knows it anyway. You might as well just be honest with it. Develop some daily disciplines that helps you carry it out every single day of your life, Monday through Saturday living. This is what transforms families and the hearts of our children. Parents, realize this, that your number one job is to be a disciple maker to your young people in your own home. And fourthly, if we want to walk in victory and have freedom ruling and reigning, we need to remember our future destination. That all that we have and all that God blesses us in the work and labor which we toil at each and every day, that this is not the end game. That we have a brighter hope, a brighter future. This world is not my home. So I'm not going to get attached to it. I'm not going to be overly possessive of the things which I have in my life, because simply put, it'll all burn one day. And one day I'll go home, and what will really matter, I'll have for eternity. And what's here, all that I have gained or all that I have lost, will be washed away. My home is in heaven. My future is secure. And sometimes the best way to find victory over today's life and today's trials is to recall how it's going to end. And for believers, understand something. God has given you the end game. He's told you what's going to happen. You win. Start acting like it. What would happen if today you lived in the reality that the victory has already been won? Everything's been secured, and today you live in the light of that victory that Christ has brought you. That's the cross. That's what it means to love Jesus and to be a believer. That's how your belief begins to impact your behaviors. Friends, remember, what we do now is just temporary. In a fleeting moment, in a twinkling of an eye, one day we'll be made like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the sons of God. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But he says, well, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, there is no condemnation to them that love God, that while we are yet sinners, God commended, he demonstrated his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Allow Christ's love to rule and reign your daily life, remembering that one day you'll stand before him face to face. And therefore, one day we'll be with him, we can bear the cross. We can suffer loss. We can embrace failure. Because it's not fatal, nor is it final. Because he's already said, we win. It's easy to be in a fight when you know how it's going to end up. As difficult as it may be, our victory's been secured. Christians, may our belief in that reality impact our behavior greatly. And as we look towards people that have sacrificed so much, we think about families that can never love their sons or daughters today because they're not here. We think about widows that have to raise their children alone because their father has been taken away. You know, the tragedy about most that have given their lives is that they've really given up two lives to secure our freedom. They're giving up their lives. I mean, most of them are just boys, young children, if you will. I mean, I would be offended when I was a Marine if someone said that to me. But, you know, knocking on the door at 50 and looking at people that serve in the military, they're just kids. And the most tragic aspect about the sacrifice they made is they give up their life and they give up the life they'd never future live. They give up the possibility of being husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They give it all up to secure freedom that we enjoy. So today in this weekend, celebrate that freedom. Be mindful of it. Be grateful for it. Having known personally men that have made that sacrifice, they would want you to do that, to honor them. But they'd also want you to pay it forward. To live in such a way, not to earn that freedom, but in such a way that honors it. When we look at the cross and all that Jesus did for us there, are you living in such a way? Because you can't earn it, you can't pay it back. But are you living in such a way to honor our great and glorious King? To say the reality of this message, which we believe in this book, is true by the way in which we live on a daily basis. Let this be a day of remembrance. Let us reflect and remember and rejoice in all that God has done. And may it transform our daily lives into something worth living for. Let's bow our heads and hearts a word of prayer.